Hello, and thanks for listening in today. Here's another podcast episode from Buffy's Flavorful Journey, and this is on politics once again. For me, the 2024 U.S. presidential race comes down to three things: black versus white, male versus female, and intelligence versus ignorance. I mean, really. Aren't all of those the backbone of America, right? Now let's start with racial prejudice, which unfortunately, as a black woman in America, that's near and dear to my heart, as I faced it firsthand and seen others in my family face it as well. Racial prejudice against black people in America is a complex and deeply rooted issue with historical, social, and psychological dimensions. Understanding why some white people may hold prejudices against black people involves considering a variety of factors. 1. Historical legacy of slavery and segregation. The institution of slavery in America laid the foundation for racial prejudice by dehumanizing black people and establishing a racial hierarchy. This legacy continues to influence societal attitudes today. Now, let's talk about Jim Crow laws and segregation a bit. Because even after the abolition of slavery, laws and social practices were put in place to maintain white supremacy and to disenfranchise black Americans. That period of legalized racism further entrenched negative stereotypes and attitudes. 2. Stereotypes and media representation. Over centuries, negative stereotypes about black people have been perpetuated, portraying us as dangerous, lazy, or inferior. These stereotypes are often passed down through generations. We also have media representation. The media has played a significant role in reinforcing these stereotypes by often portraying black people in negative or criminal contexts. This skewed representation can influence public perception and reinforce prejudices. This can also be said for all minority peoples, and this is further enhanced by having a white male act as the champion or savior in the media. Let's look at the film Hidden Figures from a few years ago. Remember in that film Kevin Costner's role? Well, Katherine Johnson, that character, was running through rain, all kinds of weather, to get to the restroom because it was only for colored people. That's the only restroom she could use. Well, when Kevin Costner found out about it, the white male, he's like, oh no, that's not going to be. I'm going to end this. So he was portrayed as the savior. Now, in actuality, Katherine Johnson was a real character. But this episode of some white men saying, no, that's not going to happen, you can use whatever restroom you need to, that didn't happen in reality. But the media, the movies, had a white man save the day for a black woman. But in actuality, the human calculators, the hidden figures, the black women, saved the day for the white male astronauts. Don't forget that. 3. Socialization and cultural transmission. Family and community influence. People often inherit prejudices from their families, communities, and social environments. If white individuals grow up in settings where racial prejudices are common, they tend to internalize those attitudes without even critically questioning them. Then you also have cultural norms. In some communities, there may be cultural norms or expectations that encourage prejudiced attitudes or behaviors. These norms can be difficult to break, especially if they are tied to a person's identity or sense of belonging. 4. Economic and social competition. Perceived threats. Some white people may view black people, hell, all minorities, as a threat to their economic or social status. This can lead to prejudice as a way to justify inequality or to maintain a sense of superiority. You also have scapegoating. In times of economic or social stress, certain groups may be scapegoated, i.e. minorities, for broader societal problems. Black people historically have been marginalized and vulnerable, and they have often been unfairly blamed for issues like crime or unemployment. And now, today, a lot of people of Hispanic descent are facing the same prejudice today in America. 5. Psychological factors. You have what's called an in-group or out-group bias. That's where humans have a natural tendency to favor their own group, the in-group, and view other groups, the out-groups, with suspicion or hostility. This bias can lead to prejudice against those who are perceived as different or outside one's own group. There's also the fear of the unknown. Prejudice can also stem from the fear of the unknown or familiar because of the lack of exposure to diverse groups, which can lead to ignorance and fear, which then can manifest as prejudice. 6. Institutional and systemic racism. Prejudice is not just an individual issue. It is also systemic institutions in America, including the criminal justice system, education, and housing. Those have all been historically structured in ways that disadvantage Black people. This systemic racism perpetuates inequality and reinforces prejudices. And let's not forget about white privilege. Some white people may be unaware of the privileges that they enjoy due to their race. And any challenge to that privilege can be met with resistance, leading to prejudice as a means of protecting that privilege. That's right, folks. White privilege exists, and the vast majority of white people know it does. Maybe people of color need to start creating our own minority privilege. What do you think about that? 7. Cognitive dissonance and justification. When white individuals are confronted with the reality of racial inequality, they may experience cognitive dissonance. That's a psychological discomfort from holding two conflicting beliefs. To resolve that discomfort, they may justify or downplay the inequality, thus leading to prejudice attitudes. Happens all the time. There's also a rationalization. Prejudice can be a way to rationalize existing social hierarchies. By believing that Black people are somehow less deserving, individuals can justify the disparities they see in society. Black people are often labeled as less intelligent or incapable of performing some jobs, but in actuality, once we're given an equal chance, we excel. 8. Lack of education and awareness. A lack of education about the true history of race relations in America, including the impact of slavery, segregation, and systemic racism, has led to ignorance and perpetuation of prejudiced beliefs. I mean, let's face it. American schools don't really educate our youth on slavery. There's no talk about the raping of women to create more enslaved labor. No talk about breeding plantations, which force slaves to have sex to breed again to increase the numbers of slaves. No talk about the brutality, the whippings, the cutting off of feet, just on and on and on. There's also a limited exposure to diversity. Individuals who have limited contact with people from different racial backgrounds may rely, and they often do, on the stereotypes or misinformation that they see in the media, from family, from friends, from wherever, thus reinforcing their prejudices. Now, let's talk about the dynamics between men and women in America, independent of racial considerations. Those are shaped by a complex interplay of historical, cultural, social, and psychological factors too. While significant progress has been made in gender equality, disparities and tensions still exist, influenced by deeply ingrained societal norms and expectations. So let's go through a brief overview of some of the key factors that shape male versus female dynamics in America. 1. Historical context and patriarchy. Historically, American society, like many others, has been structured around patriarchal norms, where men held primary power and dominance in roles of leadership, moral authority, social privilege, and control of property. Thus, women were often relegated to domestic roles and excluded from positions of power. There was also legal inequality. Until the 20th century, women in America had limited legal rights, including the right to vote, to own property, or to work in certain professions. The struggle for women's suffrage and subsequent feminist movements have challenged those inequalities, but they've left a lasting legacy that still influences gender dynamics today. 2. Gender roles and stereotypes. Traditional views have long dictated that men should be the breadwinners and protectors, while women should be caregivers and homemakers. These roles have been deeply embedded in American culture and continue to influence expectations and behavior. Hell, there's now a trend of what's called trad wives, you know, traditional wives. That's where women stay home, take care of the home and the children, while men go out and work. Or in other words, barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen. Wake up, women. Don't fall into this trap, because that's just what it is. There's also the stereotypes. As men are often stereotyped as strong, assertive, and rational, while women are stereotyped as nurturing, emotional, and passive. These stereotypes limit individuals' opportunities and reinforce power imbalances. Again, wake up. Men believe that they are heads of the families, but remember, women can and do turn the head any which way we want to at any given time, if so desired. 3. Workplace dynamics and gender inequality. Don't forget about the gender pay gap. Because despite advancements in gender equality, women in America, on average, still earn less than men for the same work. This wage gap is influenced by factors like occupational segregation, discrimination, and differences in work experience and hours worked. Remember back in the day at Walmart? Most of the managers were white males because they had families to take care of. Few, if any, women or minorities were managers. Just white males. Because only they have families to take care of. There's also that glass ceiling concept. Women, especially in corporate and political spheres, often face what's called a glass ceiling. That's an invisible barrier that prevents them from advancing to the highest levels of leadership, despite having the qualifications. So it's not what you know, it's who you know, especially if you're a white male in America. Work-life balance. There's this expectation that women will take on the majority of caregiving responsibilities, and that can lead to challenges in balancing work and family life, thus impacting a woman's career advancement and earning potential. I remember working for one of my first supervisors out of college, and back in the day when she was a young female, married, she got pregnant. She was working at the local telephone company. And unfortunately, when you got pregnant and you had to leave to have your child, they fired you. There was no maternity leave, no family medical leave. You were terminated because you needed to stay home and take care of the family. Crazy. Now, let's go to number 4. Socialization and gender norms. From a young age, boys and girls are often socialized into different roles. Boys are usually encouraged to be independent, assertive, and competitive, while girls are usually encouraged to be nurturing, cooperative, and appearance-focused. You know, meek, mild. These early experiences shape adult behavior and expectations. Just think about the toys that are made and marketed to children. Dolls for the girls, trucks and cars for the boys. There's also cultural expectations. Societal norms around masculinity and femininity can pressure individuals to conform to specific behaviors, thus leading to stress and internal conflict when those norms do not align with personal identities or desires. Assertive men are strong, brave, they are leaders. Strong women who voice their opinions, well, they're bitches. 5. Psychological factors and power dynamics. Power dynamics play a significant role in male versus female relationships, both in personal and professional contexts. Men have traditionally held more power in various areas, and this can create imbalances in relationships, decision-making, and opportunities. There's also something called toxic masculinity, and that refers to cultural norms that encourage men to suppress emotions, avoid vulnerability, and assert dominance in unhealthy ways. This can lead to negative outcomes for both men and women, including aggression, emotional repression, and strained relationships. Now, what about internalized gender roles? Both men and women can internalize gender roles, leading to self-limiting beliefs and behaviors. For example, women may feel they need to downplay their ambitions, while men may feel pressure to be the primary provider. 6. Sexual harassment and violence, which is on the rise, people, it's on the rise in America. Women are disproportionately affected by sexual harassment in the workplace and public spaces. This harassment is a manifestation of power imbalances and can contribute to a hostile environment, thus limiting women's opportunities and well-being. And yes, I know that sometimes men are victims of sexual harassment too, but let's be honest, the vast majority of victims are still women. There's other gender-based violence, such as domestic violence, sexual assault, and other forms of gender-based violence, which remain significant issues. These acts of violence are often rooted in the desire for control and the enforcement of traditional gender roles. 7. Changing attitudes and the feminist movements. Feminist movements, especially since the 1960s, have been instrumental in challenging gender inequality and advocating for women's rights. These movements have pushed for changes in laws, workplace policies, and societal attitudes, leading to significant progress in gender equality. Still have a long way to go, though, folks. Any shifts in the attitudes towards gender roles, where both men and women share responsibilities and power, have been uneven and have faced resistance from those who cling to traditional norms. Why? Because most people are resistant to change. 8. Education and representation. Women in America have made significant gains in education, often surpassing men in college and graduate school enrollment. This has led to greater opportunities in various fields, though disparities remain in the science, technology, engineering, and math areas, i.e. STEM, and in leadership roles. Now, let's talk a little bit about the representation of women in media. That has also evolved with more diverse and complex portrayals. However, the media often still perpetuates harmful stereotypes and the underrepresentation of women, especially in positions of authority. That continues to be a concern. Remember Sandra Bullock's role in the film The Proposal? She was seen as a bitch on wheels by the entire company, but that was softened by the love of a man. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. Now, let's touch briefly on intersectionality, because gender dynamics don't exist in isolation. The experiences of women are influenced by other aspects of their identity, including race, class, sexual orientation, and disability. Intersectionality highlights how different forms of discrimination overlap and create unique challenges. That is so true. May 22, 1962, Malcolm X, quote, "The black woman is the most disrespected person in America," unquote. Over 60 years later, and that is still true. 10. The Me Too movement and social change. The Me Too movement brought widespread attention to the prevalence of sexual harassment and assault, leading to greater awareness and accountability. This movement has sparked conversations about power dynamics, consent, and respect in both personal and professional relationships. Funny though, white women started speaking out about sexual harassment and their mistreatment, yet minority women, especially black women since slavery, have been brutalized and raped repeatedly without any recompense. Let's touch a little bit about men's issues and changing masculinity. There's a growing recognition of the challenges that men face due to rigid gender norms, including mental health issues, loneliness, and societal pressures to conform to traditional masculinity. Therefore, some men are actively challenging traditional notions of masculinity by embracing vulnerability, emotional expression, and more egalitarian relationships. Kudos. Last one to talk about, intelligence versus ignorance. The phenomenon of people supporting and voting for individuals who have a history of dishonesty, legal issues, or other negative traits can be understood through several psychological, social, and cultural factors. There's a theme here. These dynamics are not just about intelligence versus ignorance, but also involve deeper elements of identity, group dynamics, media influence, and political psychology. Here's a breakdown of why this occurs. 1. Identity and belonging. People often align with political figures who represent their values, identity, or social group, even if those figures have significant personal flaws. Political identity can become a core part of a person's overall identity, making them more likely to overlook or rationalize a leader's failings to maintain group loyalty. Bullshit. Stupid like stupid. In-group, out-group dynamics. We talked about this a little bit earlier. There's a strong psychological tendency to favor one's own group, the in-group, and view outsiders, the out-group, with suspicion or hostility. Supporters may view criticism of their preferred leader as attacks on their own identity or community, thus reinforcing their loyalty. 2. Confirmation bias and motivated reasoning. People have a natural tendency to seek out information that confirms their existing beliefs and to dismiss information that contradicts them. Supporters of a flawed leader might selectively believe sources that paint their leader in a positive light while ignoring or rationalizing negative information, i.e. fake news. And let's think about it. They're always told minorities are stealing their jobs, and that's why I can't feed my family. That's what they're told, and that's what they believe, even though factual news, real factual news, will point to the exact opposite. Then there's motivated reasoning, which occurs when people consciously or unconsciously interpret information in a way that supports their desired conclusions. Again, the fake news. For example, a supporter might dismiss credible accusations against a leader as fake news because accepting them would create cognitive dissonance. You think? It would make them actually think for themselves instead of being told what to think. 3. Distrust of institutions and expertise. Many Americans have lost trust in traditional institutions, including the media, government, and academia. This distrust can make them more susceptible to believing alternative narratives, conspiracy theories, or the word of a leader who positions themselves as an outsider or rebel against the establishment. Right. To hell with democracy. Let's bring on a dictatorship. But it's funny how these same supporters seem to forget that in a dictatorship, we all lose the same freedoms to do anything, regardless of our race or gender or economic status, any of that. There's also anti-intellectualism. That's where experts and intellectuals are viewed with suspicion or disdain. This can lead to the rejection of fact-based arguments in favor of emotional appeals or simplistic solutions offered by a charismatic leader. You know, dumb and dumber. 4. Emotional appeal and charismatic leadership. Charismatic leaders often appeal to emotions, using rhetoric that resonates with their supporters' fears, hopes, or frustrations. This emotional connection can override logical assessments of the leader's qualifications or behavior. Populism. Some leaders use popular strategies, claiming to represent the people against a corrupt elite. This narrative can be powerful, especially when combined with promises to restore lost status or to fix perceived injustices, making their supporters more willing to overlook personal flaws. Make America great. MAGA. Make America great. But when was America great? Was it when slavery was in existence? Was it when the Native Americans were the only ones here? When was America great? And here's the rub. I said it earlier. If you are not wealthy, you will lose. And even if you are wealthy, you will still lose, because all of your wealth will become that of the dictator. 5. Media environment and echo chambers. The rise of partisan media outlets, social media, and echo chambers allows people to live in information bubbles where they are exposed only to content that aligns with their views. These environments can reinforce support for a leader despite contradictory evidence. There's also the spread of misinformation and disinformation, which can shape public opinion by creating false or misleading narratives that protect or promote a leader. When people are repeatedly exposed to these narratives, they can become deeply ingrained. 6. Fear and scapegoating. Leaders often exploit fear, whether it's fear of economic instability, demographic change, or external threats. When people are afraid, they may be more likely to support a leader who promises to protect them, even if that leader's past actions are questionable, because fear is a powerful tool. Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, Trump. And some leaders use scapegoating tactics by blaming certain groups or institutions for societal problems. You know, Hispanics, well, they're taking our jobs. They're criminals. They're raping our children, our wives, our women. All of this scapegoating can create a sense of solidarity among the supporters who see their leader as defending them against those perceived threats. 7. Economic and social desperation. People facing economic hardship or insecurity may support a leader who promises to improve their situation, even if that leader has a checkered past. Economic desperation can lead people to prioritize immediate promises over long-term considerations. There's also a disillusionment with the status quo, because when people feel that the political establishment has failed them, they may turn to outsiders or unconventional leaders who they believe will disrupt the system. This desire for change can lead to the support of leaders who are seen as rule breakers. But a broke, convicted felon? Seriously? 8. Cognitive dissonance and rationalization. When a person's actions or beliefs are inconsistent with their values, they experience cognitive dissonance, which is uncomfortable. To resolve that, they may rationalize or justify supporting a flawed leader to align their beliefs with their behavior. Supporters may also rationalize the leader's dishonesty or legal issues by downplaying their importance, blaming the opposition, or arguing that the leader's positives outweigh their negatives. This allows them to maintain support without feeling hypocritical or without facing reality. They believe that their leader will do all of the things to others, but not to them. So the supporters start really listening to what their leader tells them. Even when he tells them what he's going to do, and he tells them he's going to do it to them and everyone else. 9. Social influence and peer pressure. People are influenced by the opinions and behaviors of those around them. In communities or social circles where support for a particular leader is strong, individuals may conform to avoid social alienation or conflict, even if they have reservations. People also derive part of their identity from the social groups they belong to. This is social identity theory. So if a political leader is strongly associated with their group, they may support that leader as a way of reinforcing their group identity and status. 10. Historical presidents and national mythology. Some political leaders are able to draw on historical narratives or national myths that resonate with their supporters. By aligning themselves with figures from the past who are viewed positively, they can inspire loyalty despite personal failings. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the same as Martin Luther King Jr. I'm the same as President Abraham Lincoln. And lastly, there's American exceptionalism. That's the belief that the U.S. is unique and superior in certain ways, and that can lead to support for leaders who claim to restore or uphold these ideals, even if their actions contradict democratic norms. MAGA, dictatorship. Make America great again, dictatorship. Understanding the intricate interplay of historical, social, and psychological factors is crucial for addressing and combating racial prejudice, evolving gender dynamics, and the complexities of modern political support. These challenges require a multifaceted approach, including education, exposure to diverse perspectives, systemic changes to dismantle entrenched inequalities, and ongoing efforts to promote equality. By fostering a more informed and engaged society, we can challenge stereotypes, we can address power imbalances, and we can create environments where individuals can pursue their goals free from the constraints of prejudice, traditional gender roles, or uninformed political allegiance. So what do you think? This was my take on the 2024 U.S. presidential election. I'm a 54-year-old black female who has experienced her fair share of discrimination, stereotypical categorizations, and disbelief in my intelligence. So I have lived this, and I continue to do so today. How about you? Let me know in the comments, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.